Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
A massive gap in your life when you're used to going every 18 months. We went regularly before lockdown, didn't we? Because Mayette's got an older sister called Marisa. A lovely lady, both sisters are lovely. And Romy was Marisa's husband. He was a dear soul. And he had cancer and he died. And we went regularly to try and help and get involved. And you know, when you know your brother-in-law is gonna die, and he was really bad. He was really bad. And I'm tired. I've been up so long. We travelled 24 hours on the Malaysian Airlines. Oh, nice food, but I'm just very tired. So anyway, we went to the Philippines regularly before lockdown. And you know, some of the families, they've got kids, like Mia, your age, some of them. And when you don't see them for 5 years, suddenly they're like young men, young ladies. And that's what it's been like. We see the kids grow up. They become, you know, strapping lads. So it's been very sweet because here these boys, Rayu, Aaron, they've been driving us around everywhere. You know, we kind of lived in luxury. I have a little Ford, not a Ford, I have a little Peugeot. I have a Ford van. It's a working man's car and van. Out there, we've been driven around in Chelsea tractors, haven't we, Mayette? Nice luxury vehicles. And we were thinking of hiring a car, weren't we? We haven't even had to pay for petrol because Agnes is Raoul's wife. Raoul is Mayette's younger brother. And she gets money from local government. You know, it's like taxes. And she spent it on our fuel to drive us around everywhere, didn't she? Yeah, should I be saying this?
Politics, Joan.
Politics.
Politics in the Philippines.
You know, they took us everywhere. They took us to San Balas. Took us 5 hours to get there. Yeah, you've been there.
We always pass by if we go home in El Paso.
It's lovely, lovely.
That's when the mayor, Mount Pinatubo.
Down there, isn't it? It's lovely. We stayed in these holiday huts on the beach. The huts were on the beach with the palm trees. Lovely. The sea, you strip your clothes off and jump in the sea and it's warm. You don't want to come out. So nice. My mind is boggled as to what to tell you, what not to tell you. You know, we stayed at first, the first 9 days, we stayed in a hotel called the Finn Hotel. One day, I lost my mobile phone. I thought I left it in the hotel, and that's the last place I remember seeing it. And when I realised I didn't have it in my pocket, I thought someone stole it from the hotel, one of the cleaners. So I made an accusation to the manager. And Filipino people are so sweet. They wouldn't dream of doing it. But it went through my mind. And I said to the manager, someone's taken my phone. Oh, it was my mind playing tricks with me. Do you know what I'm saying? Anyway, you know what she did? She said, no one's going home until we find that phone. And all the workers that were there that day, or that evening, had to wait for Mayette and I to come back to the hotel, didn't they? And there they were, they were all like trembling, thinking one of them is a thief. Well, do you know what happened? I didn't leave it in the hotel. It fell out of my pocket in Agnes's car. So it was in the car. We went around their house and she found it. thought, oh, what have I done? I felt so stupid. I felt such an idiot. I thought, these Philippine people, they're going to think, is this what English people are like? They go around with their nice Samsung Galaxies, and when it goes missing, they blame other people. I felt terrible. And I went back to the hotel with Mayette, and I thought, I've got to eat humble pie. Are we Christians? And if we're Christians, we need to show other people we are Christians. They need to see you're... This is what was going through my mind, whether the Lord was speaking to me. I thought, I can't let this go. I've got to show these people in the hotel that I'm an idiot. It's my fault. I blame them, and I need to pay the price for it. Do you know what I'm saying? So I saw the manager, Angie. And the other, there were two of them, I said, I'm really sorry. I've caused you stress. I've caused everybody stress in the hotel. I said, I've got to make it up to you. I said, here's £10 note for you. Here's a £10 note for you. That's 20 quid. I said, where is everybody else? She said, well, there's six of them upstairs, and they're like drinking. You know, they're waiting to see me and Mayette.
They've been held up.
When I told Mayette...
They've been held up.
When I told Mayette, she said, we're calling the police. That's all they needed to hear. Anyway, one of the girls came down and she said, Mom, everybody's waiting upstairs. Anyway, they came down and I felt safe. I said, there's £10 for you. There's a sentence, I prayed everyone in the centre to just ease their stress. I was a loser, and they all got 650 pesos each. Made me happy to give it, because I thought to myself, every time an Englishman checks into that hotel, they're going to think, not another English man, you know, that's going to lose his mind. I wanted to restore their trust in an Englishman such as I. But that was our first hotel. We had to call and stay in a couple. We have lived like the lords of the manor. And I'm not saying it's going to happen to every one of us when you go on holiday to Torquay or somewhere like that. But everybody has met under backwards for our well-being. You know, and I've been so humble. I preached at the church. They really enjoy having a visiting speaker. They've seen me before, and they made me feel special on that Sunday. Mayette said to me, we're going back there, John, in the evening. There's an evening service sort of thing. I thought there was an evening service. Do you know what they did? They had a surprise party for me. About 100 people, isn't there, Mayette? They had a banner. I forgot to bring the banner.
All my relatives came.
It's a banner of me, picture of me, being 60 years of age, yeah? And I did not know what was going on. Her brother, Tofa, and two of her two relatives, they were cooking all day.
A chef.
All day. He's a professional chef like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, he's not only professional chef, he's the...
He's a celebrity chef.
He's a celebrity chef.
Cooked all day for me.
He's being shown on GMA's event. He's a celebrity chef in the Philippines.
It's like Gordon Ramsay, Jamie Oliver.
Yeah. He's a caliber chef.
He's one of the top chefs.
Yes. And he's not only a chef. He's a historian.
He's a lovely chap. He even drove us around. And he cooked, what do you call it, Calderetta? You don't have
Biff, Calderetta.
You have big dishes and you have a special cook. And he did it all for me.
A celebrity chef.
He even got
You have to pay 5,000 pesos for a meal if he's the chef.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like Gordon Ramsay's Michelin star dish.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you're a vegetarian anybody, but we have a lechon. We have a whole pig. A whole bunch of it. Came in a bit late, say, called by roast of big pork. Wow. It gives for me. I have three birthday cakes, all in one party. Everyone made a fuss of me. I didn't think they were safe. They were all really so sweet, everybody.
Now, you didn't know, before we came, we were already planning it, my sisters and the church, you know, a few months before. So
I thought, you know, I'm going to the Philippines. 3 weeks. What am I going to do in 3 weeks in the Philippines? I'll take the Charles Spurgeon Methodist to my student book. I'll take my book about the baptism of the Holy Spirit from Dr. Peter Narcisse. I'll take my Bible. I thought, right, I can chill out. I can do all of this. I can rest. I can read. I can study.
But you didn't.
Not a chance! Not a chance, Nika! I was too busy lounging on a 20-story hotel, sitting round the pool, catching a suntan. It was just amazing. Everybody. One day here, one day there, gallivant there, gallivant there. I just couldn't. It was nice. God knows we need a rest. God knows we need to be blessed. And I've been blessed so much with my hair. Doing everything, haven't we?
So my family, they're very, very good to us, my family. Especially my brother who's got cancer.
Right. The last 10 days we stayed with Raul. Raul's a lovely man. He's a man's man. And we were welcome to the home. And we spent sort of quite a lot of time with him, and we went swimming. He did everything, he took us here, there and everywhere. And he's got cancer. He's got a tumour, stage 4 cancer. And he takes medication every day. His dear wife, Agnes, I mean, I'll take my hat off to her. She's working 24/7 to pay for his medication. His medication costs £30 a day. For one tablet.
That's the only tablet apart from all the tests.
The dear wife is working.
There's no NHS.
Just to keep it going. And it's helping him. But this is the harsh reality of life, of living in a country that doesn't have a healthcare system. You know? It's tough. Very tough.
Expensive healthcare there.
Wow. It really is sweet. Well, it's hard and it's sweet at the same time. So we've had a wonderful time. God has really blessed us. And I'm grateful for it. I don't know how much more to say on that, Maya. Have I missed anything out?
It's mainly the witness that we saw, the faith of my brother, about what he said to you, that despite of his condition, because he's got a very strong faith in the Lord. He said that if Paul didn't get healed, who am I to compare to get healed? But obviously my life is in the hands of God. And you wouldn't believe, he's a stage 4 every single day because I run every day. So he takes me to this particular
it's a fitness club.
It's a fitness club, but you can do running, you can do swimming, the 50 meters swimming pool, and then you do cycling. He does cycling with us, and he's got stage 4. He gets his 4x4 and he put his bike, and then I go swimming, say 30 minutes, and then I do my running. After that, he was sent back. Because he was still cycling, and I cannot believe, you know, that the Lord is so gracious and merciful to him, that he can still do all those things. But obviously, you know, the wife is very, not worried, concerned when he's doing that because he's not allowed to fall. Because one of his bones of the back gave way as well. So, but he's still getting on with it, you know, and he said, I'm just very blessed because I can take medication, I can do all the things that I want to do because there are people who are very poor. He said they can't even afford to have the chemo tablet. Who am I? I'm the same creation as that person, as you know, God created me and God created that person who's suffering most from that. So he's got a very positive outlook. And praise God for that, because that's mainly why we went home, because of my mom's funeral commemoration of her life, and also to see her own. So praise the Lord.
I've told us a story of a lady. She's got two kids. She's homeless. She's got no home. And she's got cancer. And she's got no one to work for her to pay for her medication. So he is evaluating what he's got, what she's got. You know, he's humble. Like he said, Paul never got healed. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he's teaching him about the power of God and about how God deals with us. He's learning a lot. It's humbly to listen to him.
Yeah, it humbled us because he said, before he takes the medication, the tablet, he said, it's not the tablet, it's God. So he prayed about it. He said, this is only your instrument. So he taught us so much about humility. And it was really good to see how we respond to his illness.
Michael, should we sing another hymn?
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.